Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The state of South Dakota ended the fiscal year 2017 with an $8 million surplus, but it wasn't an easy task for legislators and the governor's office. 4 months before the fiscal year's close, anticipated revenue was down, and lawmakers had to cut that budget by an additional $25 million. That got SDPB's Lee Strubinger interested in the budget-setting process. He joins us now from the Black Hills Bureau in Rapid City inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio to tell us a little bit about what he learned. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So, what'd you find out? Let's get started.
Well, you know, crafting a state budget is the one legislative requirement that lawmakers have, and it is much easier said than done. So beginning in September, you know, starting this month, the Bureau of Finance and Management starts receiving budget requests from all agencies of state government. So then four budget analysts start taking those budget requests, and they start looking at what, you know, these agencies want, what they're requesting, why they're requesting it, and how it will get paid for. Those talks with state agencies will continue until, all the way down in December, when the governor then gives his budget address on the 5th. Simultaneous to that, while all of that is going on, you have two fiscal analysts, one with the governor's office and one with the Legislative Research Council, who are forecasting ahead at what the state's economy might look like.
So there's a lot going on at the same time, not just to craft a budget, but to balance it. How does the state get to that point?
Well, it's very reminiscent kind of to a game of chess, which might be an easy analogy, but, you know, there are multiple games within this game to get to that end. Except in this match, you know, no one's trying to beat each other.
In theory, yes, correct.
The two different methods at play sort of look like this. Jim Terwilliger is the state economist, and he works closely with the governor's office. And he creates a revenue forecast that's essentially a forward-looking projection on the state's economy. His forecast is based on, you know, trends in employment growth, gross domestic product growth, and how much sales tax revenue is going to come in, etc. Meanwhile, Jim Melhoff, who is a fiscal analyst for the Legislative Research Council, employs a more backward-looking process. He kind of takes a look at what revenues have been, and he uses a formula to really understand past trends while using some of that recent data to create a revenue forecast. So those two forecasts are kind of brought together to the Legislative Appropriations Committee in January when session starts. And that committee is comprised of state legislatures, and they will take that information from both Melhoff and Terwilliger, consider what they're talking about, what revenues may end up like, and really craft a state budget with that information. Democratic State Senator Reynold Nesipa is an economics teacher at Augustana, and he says that crafting the budget is really a three-part process.
Terwilliger makes an estimate that's forward-looking. Melhoff makes an estimate based on past performance. And a subcommittee of legislators weigh those arguments and put that together as our revenue estimate. And then that's that revenue estimate we use to build a budget around.
All right, Lee, take us back to last year then, when revenues were coming in lower than what was predicted, and lawmakers had to readjust those forecasts for both the current fiscal year and the one that we're in now. What happened there?
So it's important to note that sales and use tax collections are almost $1 billion a year in revenue for the state. It's the largest source of money that goes into the state general fund. And for this current fiscal year, state officials are counting on sales tax to fund over 62% of the cost of operations. So when those sales tax numbers go down, it's not good. Representative David Anderson is a Republican from Hudson, and he's in the Appropriations Committee. And he illustrates, you know, part of what happened last fiscal year and how things might take shape this year.
A lot of people, maybe, let's say they try and trade combines every 3 years just to keep current. Well, right now they might be saying, well, let's run it a fourth year or even a fifth year and try and get it to last a little bit longer. So those are the kind of decisions that are, I think, still being made. So I don't see a lot of change in the ag economy.
when farmers aren't buying those combines and making those expenses, you know, that's money that doesn't that the state counts on that they're not really getting at this time.
Right.
And the governor really addressed that in his budget address last year, when he told the legislature projections were coming in lower than expected. And then, you know, over the course of the weeks and months of session, you know, they just kept coming in lower and lower than expected. You know, those sales tax numbers are starting to increase from last year, but it's important to note that Amazon has started submitting those sales tax collections to the state. And that's really helping, you know, with the state's bottom line. Collecting online sales taxes are key for a state like South Dakota, which relies so heavily on that money. But it's, you know, it's also important to note that not every online company is paying those taxes out like Amazon is.
So how do we get from the governor's budget address in December to the finalized budget that's passed on the final legislative day?
Usually the last legislative day. When the governor gives his budget address, he has to propose a budget in which expenditures or appropriations don't exceed that anticipated revenue, and so or existing funds that are available for appropriation. When he's giving that address, he's basically talking about two separate budgets, the current fiscal year and the upcoming fiscal year. During his last budget address, Governor Dugard said that state revenues were down by $26 million than were projected at the start of the last fiscal year. So that Appropriations Committee had to readjust the budget to accommodate that. And as it turns out, as I mentioned, you know, those numbers were still coming in lower and lower. So lawmakers had to adjust the budget even further down. Mm-hmm. Part of what, you know, really piqued my curiosity about the budget setting process was how those accepted revenues, you know, had to be reset twice.
Right.
And Derek Johnson, he's a chief budget analyst with the Bureau of Finance and Management. And he really puts it this way.
When you're looking out at 2019, we're projecting revenues on state sales tax and other revenues out 18 months in advance. And so those sorts of things are sometimes difficult to predict.
You know, a lot can happen in 18 months. when lawmakers and the governor's office were setting the budget for this current fiscal year that we're in, right. You know, there's no way they could have predicted, you know, the drought that's currently going on. There's a lot of factors that go into this. So when session starts, then state agencies also meet with the Legislative Appropriations Committee about their budget for the upcoming year and their wishes. That committee meets during the legislative session, and they also see what departments need, what they'd like, and what they can do without. And they really meet every day to craft that budget that gets passed on the last legislative day. The Appropriations Committee does draw heavily from the governor's office proposed budget, and everything kind of just gets worked into place from there. Written in the state constitution, the legislature, you know, may not adopt a budget that exceeds sort of those anticipated revenues or existing funds as well. So that's a requirement they have to work within.
So, Lee, at the end of the day, the state ended this last fiscal year with an $8 million surplus. Now, how did that happen?
You're right. It was the sixth straight year that the state ended with the fiscal year with a surplus, and that's something the Dugard administration is very proud of. When continued lower-than-expected revenues were coming in, even after session, you know, Dugard asked state agencies, can you reduce your spending by 1%? Than was appropriated to you by the legislature.
Sure.
And so that's how the state was really able to end on the positive side of the budget. I have spoken with some Democratic lawmakers who are upset that that surplus didn't go towards increasing teacher pay, and they wanted to see more of that money, possibly even dipping into reserves, to go towards better and more funding for education. Mm-hmm. State workers and teachers were slated for about a 1% increase in pay during the governor's budget address, but because of those lower than expected revenues, that raised looked more like a 0.3% increase instead, which is a cost of living increase adjustment.
Are other states feeling the pinch as well, and how are budget shortfalls, you know, playing out across the country?
Right. Yeah. Definitely, a lot of other states are feeling that pinch. You know, even our neighbors, Wyoming's had some budget shortfalls due to lower than expected coal and oil and gas revenues. The same with North Dakota, as they're dealing with lower than expected revenues that they thought were going to be coming in. The price of a barrel of gasoline is down. Nebraska and Iowa are also facing some budget shortfalls as they're dealing with a sluggish ag economy, much like we are here. The National Conference on State Legislatures compiles a lot of data surrounding state budgets. They say that 22 states in the country have or would have to address budget shortfalls coming up. While there's no overarching characteristic, they say, that really defines these budget shortfalls, they do say that revenue generation is simply not keeping up with the running the cost of government.
SDPB's Lee Strubinger, political reporter, calling in from the Black Hills Bureau. Thanks, Lee.
Hey, thank you.